We are on a mission to empower busy women with the tools and skills they need to grow a successful, profitable and purposeful handmade creative business.
A business that they are excited to jump out of bed for every morning.
A business that allows them to quit the day job and start living life how they want to live it.
Welcome to the Handmade Business Podcast with your hosts Anna Maria and Lindsay Warren. Hi everybody and welcome to this week's episode of the Handmade Business Podcast. Today it's just me hosting. Lindsay has got some things that she needs to deal with today and we will miss her. I say we because I have a guest, but we'll miss her greatly. But I am joined by Ruth from Ruth's Reusables, who you may remember from episode 4 back in back in November 2020, that's when we recorded. It's mental. But yes, that's when we last recorded with Ruth. So we've got her back on today. We are going to be talking about a variety of things that we haven't really touched upon in episodes previously, because Ruth has kind of done a bit of a 360 with her business. But I'll hand over to her in a bit and she can give you the ins and outs. But she has kind of gone through a bit of a roller coaster with business, with overwhelm. But she's coming back, and she's coming back with a plan, a very strategic, I was going to say planned out plan, but that sounds a bit meta, but you know what I mean. And so we thought it was the perfect opportunity actually to get her on, because she's still in the planning stages, but very, very near the end. So we'll go through all of that. But before we do, if you find this episode helpful, we would love it if you could share it with a friend who might also benefit from hearing the things that we talk about today. Please don't forget to leave us a review wherever you are listening in, as this really does help us get the word out there about our podcast. This means we can continue our mission to help as many busy women like you grow a successful and profitable handmade business. And if you sign up for our newsletter, you will also get your hands on our up-to-date freebie, which at the moment is a freebie to help you develop your own newsletter for your handmade business, the link to which can be found in our show notes alongside any tools, websites, books that we reference in the episode. So hi Ruth.
Hello. This is weird because I literally saw you 2 hours ago at school pickup.
Yeah, no, we never ever see each other. I mean, we never see each other, do we? Ever.
Never.
Seriously, me and Ruth are like literally on a WhatsApp group. Well, actually, we're on about 4 WhatsApp groups together. We see each other twice a day. We are on the phone to each other. We are basically in each other's pockets all the time. You cannot understand how in sync we are. So, but it's so good to have you on the podcast. Just for anybody who may not know who you are, just give us a little intro.
So my name's Ruth. I live in West Yorkshire, in the same place as Anna here.
In the village.
In the village. It's not a village. It's a town. It's a town. I mean, basically, my Etsy journey started with Anna. I met her at our kids. It was the parents' meeting, wasn't it? And I told you that I'd opened an Etsy shop and there was nothing in it, literally nothing. I started out selling zipper bags to hold a specific kind of colouring marker, because that's what I did. I made cards. And that was way back in August 2018, which is a terrifying thought. That was like nearly 4 years ago. But then very quickly, I moved into making reusable products. I changed my name, my logo, to Ruth's Reusables, and that's what I continued to make until fairly recently. And that was all the way through the pandemic, which was still not 100% out of our way. So that's where I'm at. That I literally closed the shop in March, and I think we're going to talk a bit more about that.
Yeah, so you closed it March this year.
March this year.
2022. But see, you were, because when I met you, you were Bagageddon.
I was Bagageddon.
When did you change to be Reusables?
I think it has to be 2019, because I was making face wipes. I was making... Yeah, it was face wipes that started it all, wasn't it? And then I went into like bowl covers and sandwich wraps and the snack pouches and all of that.
Was it not sanitary towels?
The sanitary towels I did as well, which I still make. I love making sanitary towels.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an entire drawer full.
Which is excellent. I'll make some. Yeah, it must have been 2019. I really wasn't Bagageddon for very long. I think it was the summer of 2019, if not earlier, that I kind of switched over, because I was definitely doing it well into 2020 with all the face masks, which is one of the least enjoyable products I've ever made, it has to be said. So it's been since 2019 that I've been with Reusables.
With Ruth's Reusables, you also had quite a an active Instagram account.
I did have a very active Instagram account. I loved Instagram until I hated it. And I really started hating it, absolutely. Which is a shame, because I've met some amazing people on there. I mean, our mutual friend, Kerry, who lives in the same town as we met her through Instagram, which is the weirdest thing ever. But yeah, I absolutely loved Instagram to begin with. And then just...
To be fair, did you not meet Lindsay on Instagram as well?
I did meet Lindsay on Instagram as well.
Because you introduced Lindsay to me. Yeah, I did.
So Instagram has really been a huge source of community, of meeting like-minded people, of friends. I mean, I've made friends on Instagram. I just started hating it, and it just became a massive, it just became a drain on me.
Well, that's the thing, I think, with Instagram, with many things, with anything really, it can be used for good or evil.
Yeah.
And the algorithm is
It became a bit of an obsession, you know, that I had to be on it all the time. I had to contact people through it. I had to make sure that I replied to everything within seconds, that if I wasn't looking at other people's posts and writing on their posts, you know, that, you know, they wouldn't like me anymore. All of that. It was one big major mental meltdown, basically. That's what I feel with Instagram and with everything in general.
So it sounds
quite negative. I don't want this episode to be negative, because you know me, just how positive I've been feeling lately about everything.
You're like an entire different person.
I know.
So, yeah, I think it is important to speak about the bits that aren't, you know, roses and unicorns and whatever that metaphor is. Because if other people are feeling that way, but then they feel like they're the only ones. Mm. I know for me, and I'm sure for you too, if you think you're the only one, you can go into a very, very dark place very quickly. So if you feel like you relate to somebody else, then you're like, okay, well, I'm not the only one. And yes, it's difficult. And yes, nobody's problem is the same as my problem or problems, but at least I'm not the only one. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important.
Because everybody I've met on Instagram has genuinely been lovely. And I felt like, oh God, if I come off it, you know, what's going to happen? I don't want to disappoint other people, because they need support as well. And I want to help support them in their business journey. But I had to, I literally had to come off it. Because
and what about Etsy?
Yeah, I had to come off it too. Because, I mean, you know me. I won't go into detail for everybody else, but the last 2 years have been a monstrosity of a roller coaster. And 2020, we went through it, and I was doing quite well. Sales were really good. You know, I did feel a bit overwhelmed by everything, the lockdowns, the homeschooling, my husband working from home. I kind of felt, because the sales were so good and Etsy was kind of pumping along, I could manage it all. And I had a really good year. I mean, bad things happened. There weren't happy things that happened in my life in 2020. Some bad things happened. But I felt, because the shop was doing really well and I felt I had momentum, that I was coping. And I had the Etsy top pick at Christmas. You remember the Christmas crackers? And somebody messaged me and went, I suddenly realised I had a humongous spike in views and visits. I mean, a monstrous spike. you could see it on the stats on my Etsy page. It just went whoosh through the roof. And I got sales from totally random people out of nowhere in completely countries that I'd never sold before. I was like, what's this? And somebody went, oh, hey, have you seen the email from Etsy? You're an Etsy top pick. And I was like, you're kidding. And it's there, it says Etsy top pick. And I kind of felt I'm sailing into 2021 on a really good high. And then literally the floor went from under me. Literally somebody pulled the rug. And not just it kind of dwindled over a period of two, 3 months. Literally the first week of January, it just went. Everything went. And I was like, January's bad usually. I mean, January's never good, is it?
Mm-hmm.
It was appalling. I literally had two sales. And I was like, okay. And that was a bit of a shock. And it was, I even sold some of my craft stuff on eBay just so I had enough to pay my monthly outgoings, like things like, you know, I was in E-Rank at that time and various, you know, things to post on Instagram, you know, what you call a preview and things like that. And because I was like, this is really weird. And it didn't really get better in February. In fact, it got even worse. But in March, things started to pick up again. I thought, all right, okay. And I kept going and I tried some new tactics. I got myself a website to add to the newsletter and I kept myself going.
But in that time, though, you also had something. We're not going to go into what happened, but you also had something else that happened in life.
In life.
So it's like life very as well close, as.
To a very, very close personal friend, something truly appalling happened. Sorry, it just makes me think. I mean, her partner died literally overnight. And that, and he was exactly the same age as me. And I've known her for 30 years. And it was just, that was the beginning of the awful things that happened in 2021. And it just never really improved. And I thought it would. I kept going, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that. And I kept changing my mind about doing this and doing that. And I started doing patterns instead of making things to sell. And I look back now and everything inside me, I was coasting. I was kept thinking it will get better. But I had no substance under it. It was just me changing my mind every 2 minutes about what I was going to do and then getting annoyed and frustrated when things weren't going particularly well. And with everything that was going on with my friend and with family stuff to do with my husband because his father had died the previous year, it was just, do you remember when the Queen said she had an annus horribilis in 1992? You might not because you're a bit younger than me. But yeah.
I don't even think I was here then.
Windsor Castle, you weren't here actually. Windsor Castle burnt down and all a manner of truly appalling thing, ghastly things happened in 1 year. And she was like, this has been an annus horribilis. That was me last year. And I don't think I could see it till I hit this year. That it was just, and you're trying to be, you know, you're trying to be positive and put a really good, because you don't want people to, you don't want to throw negative vibes out there, because you're desperately trying to keep positive. And I got to see my friend in the end, which was really, really lovely. But then I realised just how much she was struggling. And then a truly even worse thing happened to her, so which we're not going to go into because I can't think about it because she's still going through it. And that's when I hit, when we hit 2022 and we're going, right, okay. And then, you know, there was all talk about lockdown at Christmas again. And that's when really my head just started to go into meltdown. And that I was continuing to do Etsy stuff, desperately trying to claw back to where I was, because I'd been some. No, I mean, I wasn't making masses of money, but I was making enough that it would help pay for nice things for me and the kids. And so we weren't having to do mega tight budgeting like we had been. And it just felt nice. It felt positive for me. It felt like it was something I had that was good, that I'd created. But I knew deep down in my heart of hearts that it was just going to continue to go nowhere, because I didn't, it, there was, like I say, there was no substance. There was nothing underneath it. It was just me trying to claw back things and work in a different way, because I was so totally overwhelmed by what had happened in 2020, what had continued into 2021, but everybody was burnt out. Did you not feel that?
Well, I feel like 2020, we were all kind of thrown up into the air with an unknown, and there was lockdowns and no, you know, we was completely socially distancing. We weren't seeing anybody. We were in the house. We were terrified of touching anything, going anywhere, being near anyone. We didn't see family. It was just completely in the air. But because we were kind of all in it together, there was like a camaradeship. Yeah. Is that the right word? Yeah. We were all kind of comrades together. Like we were feeling it. And then we kind of, I think, thought, well, 2021, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
And we'll all get back to normal.
That's it. Oh, God.
And then we went through 2020 Christmas and we came out the other side. And then we were told, actually, the children, this is from my perspective, actually, the children are going to stay at home again.
I know.
So I'm thinking, you know, I'm getting back to work in January. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not. Mm-hmm. So it's like 2021 was just this continuous, and like, you know, my dad unexpectedly passed away in March. And then there was all sorts of other things going on with like my partner's old job, which was an absolute nightmare. So it's like there was stuff for everybody going on at the same time. So we'd been thrown up into the air, and then we all kind of landed, and we were all in different places to where we'd been before we'd got thrown up in the air in the beginning of 2020. And then everybody's kind of going, oh my goodness, what the heck is this life? You know, all these just awful things. I know some people had great years. Some people landed in better positions than they did before they went into the lockdown, and some people didn't. Some people really, you know, the majority of women that I know did not have a good year in 2021. And then it's like, we're like, got to the end of 2021 and we're like, okay, 2022, it's going to be better. It's going to be better. And to be honest, so far, for me personally, my mental health has been shot. I've been sick, as you know. We've both been sick. I mean, I've been sick every few weeks, but not just a little bit poorly with a cold. You know, I was bedridden for 9 days. I felt like my organs were shutting down. So, and then my children have been poorly, so they've been off school as well, which obviously impacts on business. So it's just like this constant, I'm just like, okay, have we had enough now? Can we just go back to the way things were, please? So yeah, that's how I feel. It's been these, you know, I feel like things are more settled, but still not great. For you, though, I feel like you are mentally, and I said this after watching your first Monday video this week after ages, I said it felt like you were at peace in the video, like you felt peaceful.
I do feel at peace, and I think that was because I released another pattern, which actually quite a lot of people liked, and I got a few sales at the start of March. It was the end of February, I can't quite remember. Everything seems a bit of a blur. I don't know if that... If
I feel like March is not... I think it's longer than March. March feels too... Like we've just had March. I don't know. But I think it was February.
Yeah, and I released it on the Monday. And I had a few sales. And then I just... Something inside me just kind of snapped. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I genuinely can't do this anymore. I have to step away. And, you know, I just emailed everybody and went, I'm closing the shop. And I put that video out. I should check actually on Instagram, put that video out and said, I'm really sorry, I'm closing the shop. And I kind of feel like I drew a line under it. And I said, I don't know, this might not be the end for me on Etsy, but I know for me now, I have to stop. And I have to think about what it is I want. Do I need to regroup? Do I need to rethink about Etsy? Or do I need to completely stop and look at doing something completely different? Like I said in my video, I joined LinkedIn. And I'm looking at all, you know, because I thought, I just need an ordinary job. You know, I just need to go into somewhere or from home and have set hours and do set tasks that somebody else is going to give me, because I literally can't think anymore. And I felt, like I said to you the other day, I felt like I had a bit of a burnout meltdown. That's what it felt like, that everything from the previous year had just suddenly come to a massive head. And I'd had a humongous argument with my husband about something. And I was like, this is not good. This is not good. I am not the person that I want to be. I have got to stop, and literally I had to stop everything, and that was it, and just go away and regroup and get sick.
Yeah, get very flipping sick.
Very blooming sick. But maybe that was it. It was like all of this, you know, you're a bit woo-woo, I'm not really woo-woo, but maybe it was everything.
You say you're not, but you are.
I try and deny it because I was brought up in a religious household. But yeah, I feel maybe that was it, because it's in January, you know, we possibly had COVID and it was birthday parties for everybody and nobody could come to anybody's birthday party because they all had COVID, even though, you know, and it just felt very sad. And maybe all that sadness came out in my last really horrible illness. And I just feel, yeah, I took some time out. I thought about things. I looked at LinkedIn and got depressed at the thought of going into somewhere else and working with other people, because I don't do that very well anymore. I've done that, and I find that in some ways, I think I'm better being in charge of me.
No, yeah, completely agree with that for myself as well. Definitely not.
You know, I don't want any of that. So I kind of feel like the past couple of months have been me rethinking about what it is I want to do. And I've talked to you about it. I've talked to other friends. I've talked to my husband about it. And I said to you, I said, I think I want to do something different, but the same. I said, I want to write it all down. And you sent me the business plan. Oh, my goodness.
Which I did not, I cannot take credit for, by the way. This is not, you know, this is not a bit. But I just sent it on to you. yeah, let's give credit where credit's due there, because it's basically designed by FreshBooks with Emily Thompson from the Being Boss podcast. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you will know I rave about the Being Boss podcast. I absolutely love Emily Thompson and Kathleen Shannon. I know Kathleen's not on it anymore, but I love it. I think their resources are amazing. And Emily and FreshBooks designed this business plan, and it's epic.
It is absolutely epic. It's free.
Exactly. That's the other thing. It's like, it's free.
It's free. You can listen to the episode. And actually, no, it's technically speaking, it's not free. You sign up to the FreshBooks mailing list, but it's a brilliant mailing list.
Exactly.
I read the emails that come, and a lot of these things that I get, you know, when you sign up to mailing lists, you just don't bother really much with the mailing list. I do with this one, you know, and I've just had a look at the date of the first one that I came up with. It was the 18th of March. So actually, not that long after I closed things down, I started writing another business plan, which kind of just shows to you that I do like, there's part of me that doesn't want, there was always a part of me that didn't really want to give up, but I felt I had to in order to move on to the next step, if that makes sense.
Yes, and I think that life circumstances have also impacted that decision. I feel like if everything hadn't happened in 2021, well, and 2020, I don't think that you'd have stopped. I don't. No. I think you'd have carried on because there was no reason for you not to. But everything, you know, what's our saying? What's for you'll not come by you. So this is the way it is. And this has been the best thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've got two drafts. I'm on my second draft. I still think it could do with a third draft. I don't know. You're going to be
it's great. This is the third draft.
I suppose technically it is, actually, because I've sent it to you twice.
This is the third draft for sure.
But no, this business plan is amazing, and I decided to go for it. So like, it is 7 pages long, and it made me do research. It made me look into things. It made me look into other Etsy shops and what they're doing, which is something that usually makes me feel sick to the pit of my stomach. So it made me go over those fears. And I had massive imposter syndrome. Massive imposter syndrome. But you know what? I'm over it now. Because I faced those fears. Isn't that funny? You know, feel the fear and do it anyway.
And you've set goals.
I've got goals.
That are achievable. And I mean, it's literally, you have planned every second and not done it in a way that's like overwhelming. It's not an overwhelming planned to the second. It's good the way it's been done. And that is the beauty of this this freebie, which, by the way, I will link.
Oh, you have to.
In the podcast show notes alongside the episode where Emily goes in detail how to do each section of. It's just brilliant, really, isn't it?
When you print it out as well, it has little chunks of notes as well for each section that suggests what you should write. it's basically everything that I feel like I should have done when I set up my first Etsy shop, but I didn't, because I went with it. I just, like, you know, because I don't normally plan things.
Sometimes, though, I feel like it's when you've never done something before, you can hear all the advice and the information, but it doesn't sit the same as when you've got a little bit of experience and knowledge, because then the information has got something to kind of latch onto. And that actually, you know, speaking from my psychology degree, that is factual. If you've already got like a semantics in your mind, if you've already got sections in your mind for new information to stick to, it's much easier than creating a whole new section of the brain. That's totally possible as well. But when there's already something there, it's easier. And I think that's definitely what's happened with you, because you've had the experience, you know, kind of what all the words mean, you know, what the sections mean, you know, what goes into business. you know what Etsy's all about, the ins and outs, like the actual like SEO and pricing and listing and photography, like you know all of that. So that's not to say that if you are starting, you can't do this. You absolutely can and should.
Yeah, I definitely think you should. I definitely
even if you revisit again in 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, because I just think it makes you really think about running your shop as a business. You know, it isn't, it's not a hobby. Like, even if it's a small sideline for you, I still think you need to treat it as a business because, you know, people are paying you for these things. You should be professional and you should be, which is not to say that obviously people are, a lot of people are, but do you know what I mean? It makes you think about things and that's a good thing.
So what have you learned then about your new shop?
My new shop from the plan.
Have we actually said that you are opening a new?
I'm scared to talk about it, but that is my plan, to open a new Etsy shop, just because I felt there was so much history with the last one, and I felt it didn't kind of fit anymore, if that makes sense. And I wanted to start afresh and build better foundations. Like, I'm, you know, because like I was saying, you know, like the ground went from under me. I wanted to make sure that there were foundations there in this new shop. I mean, it's going to be patterns. The aim is that it's going to be simple patterns that people can follow to make things. To make some things that are reusable, there'll be everything in it's going to be reusable because you make it, you make it out of cotton and you can wash it. So, you know, all of that. But I think I've learned how I need to kind of look at my target market. It's made me write down a mission. It's made me write down a vision so that I actually know what it is that I'm doing, why I'm doing it, what the problem is that I'm trying to solve, my solution to it, how much money I need. Do I need, there's a section on fundraising. It makes you think about, well, what will I need? Because, you know, I'm going to need Marmalade. You know, that's going to cost me £15 a month. So how do I fund that? What are my financial forecasts? You know, the goals. I've got very simple goals. I am looking at very, very baseline at the moment. And I can review those in 6 months. It made me write down the skills and experience that I have. So actually that was a real boost to me, you know, and what my products are, what your competitive advantage is, makes you look at other Etsy shops and other shops and the millions of free patterns that are out there. You know, why would people come to me and not get a free pattern? All that sort of stuff. And pricing. And my word, the pricing section because of Etsy fees. And I sent it to you and you went, oh, I think you've missed one out. And I'm like, well, how many wretched fees are there? And then you've got to not just add on the listing fees. You've got the regulatory operating fee and they've all got VAT attached. And I spent 2 hours. trying to work out how much Etsy would take off me.
Did you work it out as 27% as a percentage?
I did work it out, but that is a percentage of my fee because I think the higher you price it, the percentage would be lower because the listing fee and part of the processing fee are a set fee. So you have 4% plus
20p. Yeah.
So the lower your price, obviously,
the more that is
going to. So if you price slightly higher, your percentage will be more, probably around about 13%. I would have said 13 to 15%. But I don't feel like I can charge. Some people who sell patterns can charge £8 or £9 for a pattern, and rightly so. Dressmaking patterns, I will pay £7 or £8 for a pattern. But mine are very simple. There's a value to it. You know,
the value is in the simplicity.
The value is in the simplicity. But I kind of feel if I go above a fiver, you know, might that not my market might go. that's what I've looked at with other shops. But again, that could potentially change. But I want to start out at that level and see how things go. Because I need to make sure that it's worth it for me, you know, financially. But like I said to you the other day, one of my goals is to try and not focus just purely on the financial. That's where I was getting really caught up before. Mm-hmm. Was I was ploughing hours and hours and hours into it because I felt because of the money side of it. And I kind of think I lost something in the love of just writing these things to try and help other people make things and get the joy out of that. I lost the joy because I was totally just, and I didn't make the money in the end. That's the irony.
Because now as well, you are making game for fun, for happiness. For fun.
And oh my goodness, that totally just reinvigorated everything. I just said, stop thinking that everything you do has to have a financial value. And I've been quilting and I've been making new stuff, and Sarah's things, you know, she's a mutual friend, and other things for people, and I'm just handing them to them, just going, yeah, look, I made something, have it. And that's brought the joy back, and that's helped. You know, so I kind of feel, what I want for people from my crazy experience is, if you're in this situation, even if it's just 2 or 3 days that you take out to stop and think, nothing bad will happen. Like, nothing dreadful has happened because I've closed my Etsy shop. We haven't got as much money as we had before. But you know what? We're doing okay. I've had to cut back on certain things. But in the future, things will come back. You know, the money is coming. That book you bought me by Sarah Akrasombe, I've been thinking about it. And she's right, the money will come if you focus on doing the right steps. It's not that you don't have to work for it or you don't have to do stuff to get the money. It's hard work. But when your brain's not in the right place and hasn't got the right focus, it just doesn't happen. And that's the business plan for me has been a real kickstarter. And just before we started recording, I've been writing patterns, and it just makes me happy again, and that's what I want. Sorry, I feel a bit emotional now. Sorry, maybe edit that bit out.
No, it's raw.
You're meanie.
Well, I do think though, what's this Tony Robbins thing where happiness? No, where energy goes. No, something about where happiness flows, energy goes. Or something like that.
If he hasn't already cornered that one, I think maybe you can market it. I like that. It's like our friend, it's like Chloe at school the other day when I told her, you know, I've taken up ice skating lessons.
Yeah, you've not mentioned that exactly.
Talk about totally changing your life. And she was like, it's good to have nourishing activities.
Love that.
And is that just not the best phrase? And I just think none of what I was doing was nourishing me. And if you don't feel nourished and that joy in doing what you're doing, it's not ever going to bring you much further joy. You have to stop. So this way, new shop, business plan, please read it. Even if all you do is print it out and look at it for a little bit, let it sit and simmer in your head. Because I guarantee if you start writing it, you won't regret it. Yeah.
And listen to the episode as well.
Listen to the episode. That's what I did. And she's even got a transcript.
Exactly, yeah.
It's like, you can't fail. You literally can't fail with this. You know, and it made me look at, like I say, other shops. It made me think about, you know, because there's a section on industry and competition, the section on who your target market is. So it made me look back through everybody that's bought from me, you know, what their demographic was. And yeah, and it kind of, yeah, I just think it's
and also your mission and vision. And like, you know, that's going to work into like your branding.
Yeah.
And like, even all of it is like, because I think that's, you said that's the next thing that you're going to look at is your branding.
Yeah, because you gave me that lovely branding planner that you have.
That's coming soon.
That's coming soon. And because I'd already done the business plan, I literally could write with free and easy what my vision was, what my mission was, which all feeds into the branding. And that's what's getting me excited, is about branding. Because I've done it, but I did it really quick and it was a bit rushed. And I just want to take the time and think about these things right now.
Well, honestly, I'm sure everybody can hear your excitement and emotion. There's emotion in there because it's been a roller coaster. And there's still things that you're going to need to do you know.
Because it worries me slightly that it's going to happen again. Do you know what I mean? I've got to try and find ways of making sure that it doesn't happen again.
Well, that was actually going to be my next question. Okay. I was going to say, like, what do you think you're going to do proactively to make sure, or to at least, if you, not to make sure, because that's no pressure, or another one of our sayings, no pressure, no panic.
No pressure, no panic.
So it's like, what do you think you're going to do to try and overcome if you do become overwhelmed?
I think I'll stop much quicker. I think the aim is to recognize that I'm a busy person. You know, drop the kids off at school, you've got time in between then picking them up. It's actually not an awful lot of time. Not at all. And you've got a million and one things to do. And so I just think I have to recognize that I'm a human being. I cannot do it all. And whilst we're never probably going to go through a pandemic of this level, they reckon there are every 100 years, so I most likely will be dead by then. Which is good, because I couldn't go through it again. I truly couldn't. But I think I've got to be stricter with myself. I let myself get very sucked down a particular path. And I think when the wheels in my head start whirring, I've got to go, Ruth, it is time that you need to just chill. I'm restricting my time on social media and not feeling guilty about it. If I miss somebody's post one day, I'm sure they'll understand. Do you know what I mean? All little things like that. Setting myself time on certain days to do certain things. Having my Wednesday off. That's my main nourishing activity now, my ice skating. In the morning, I come back. If there's time to do a little bit of something in the afternoon, I will, but I won't stress myself about it. I have a set day that my parents come and they help me. Well, my mum does. My dad sits and reads the paper. I love my dad, but yeah. It's lovely to see him. But, you know, me and my mum do stuff, so I make sure that I have things planned. I think the aim is on giving myself more time to plan and not doing anything until I've got that plan. And it usually is about an hour on a Monday that I sit down and go, right, this is what I'm going to do for the week. Okay. And just, that's my aim. I suspect at times when the kids are really sick or something major happens, like a broken limb or something like that, do you know what I mean? That will go out the window. But I think being kind to myself in those moments, you know, because it really frustrated me just how ill I was. And you know that you were really ill as well, just before me. And then I got it. And I was like, I never go to bed. And I was floored, completely floored. And it wasn't COVID.
No. It was not. It
really drove me nuts, actually.
No, I had antibiotics. It was not COVID.
It was not COVID. And I think I have to work on being better at letting myself be ill and have those moments and not feeling guilty about it. Because nothing major happened. The kids still got to school. My husband helped with that, you know. So I sat on the sofa for most of the day and watched the telly. I picked them up. We still ate. And that's really ultimately all that matters. And in between, you know, when I felt a little better, I got back to my business plan. And now I'm doing branding. And, you know, it will all come in the fullness of time. That's what I believe.
I feel like it's going to be very, everything you've just said is just, I know it's going to be relatable because it's relatable to me. So I know there's going to be other people.
I know, because you had a stinker of a year last year as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, and it's not really stopped.
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. Yours is kind of continuing on.
Well, to be honest, I feel like, you know, from 2019, midway through, June 2000, in fact, I'll be very specific. It was June 2019, about around about the 15th, when I can be extremely precise, at exactly 3:30 that day, when my partner started his job.
I know, that is his old job.
And that's basically when everything changed for me, because I went from being working 40 to 50 hours a week and loving it. You know, I don't say that and be like, oh, I was working so much. No, I loved it. I loved working that much. I was always feeling inspired. I was always happy. I was just a completely different person. And then we also moved house in that exact week. So we moved house on the 12th. He started his new job on the 15th. Oh, yes, it's a lovely house. I love this house. And then he started his job on the 15th. And then it's like I became mummy, as in not that I wasn't mummy before, but I became mummy who is more active in the house, whereas before he was always that person. And then so then it kind of started to go downhill for me because I had less time. And you have less time, you have less time to put into the business. And obviously things start to shift. And financially that was fine because he was then bringing in more money. You know, he wasn't before because he was at home. So then when 2020 came and it's like, whoa, now I have no time because the children are here all the time. And he was still having to go to work. So it was like, it just has gone, you know, just gone down. But I do feel like, you know, I've stopped. I became a bit of a drinker. I'll put it that way. Became a bit of a drinker in 2020.
You are over that now. I know.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Over that.
Yeah. So I'm not in that space with drinking. I've, you know, I'm now taking supplements. I am being much more careful on what I eat, I'm not having any junk at all. I've not eaten a packet of crisps or a chocolate biscuit for ages.
I know.
So it's like all those things I am trying. I can't stop because I do need to provide some income into the house. Like I have
no,
to.
No, and I suppose, yeah, I should. We are lucky in that.
But
respect.
Again, it's just because, you know, we started off differently because I was breadwinner for, well, like 5 years. Mm-hmm. I was sole breadwinner for 5 years just from my Etsy shops. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't have a job. I quit my job in 2014 and I never went back. So I've literally 5 years. Yeah. So until 2019. And then, yeah. So it's like, I feel like I've gone through a roller coaster because other stuff has happened. Like I say, with my dad and then my partner's job being, you know, not great. And then him leaving and then him transitioning into being self-employed. And
he's done, my word, I have my hats off to him in what he managed to do with that. But to be fair, he has had your help because of your knowledge.
Yeah, but you know what?
But
again,
he has.
Credit where credit's due.
He
has
really has.
Done.
Amazing. In a very short space of
time. I had no idea about Instagram or Reels or just any social media, about advertising on Google or campaigns and all these kind of SEO, building a website, all these things, which, yes, he had helped to build the website. But apart from that, he has done everything by himself. So the only thing I've really been doing for him is accounts. So, but yeah, all those kinds of transitional things and then the children just maybe also feeling the stress from both of us because we had so much going on. That's meant, especially with my daughter, she's a wonderful person, but she is a challenging child.
Oh, I love her. I love her. You know I love her. But boy, can she...
Oh, gosh. Dish it out. And so, again, that has an effect mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. my mental health because, you know...
I know, and I think all of those things... Like, it's just interesting you saying about the stress, because I know that the stress that I was under was massively impacting on the children and on my husband. And that was also a factor in me going, I need to sort myself out, because I think a lot of women would agree that women are pretty pivotal. If you are in a relationship where you have children, it's still women predominantly who are the holders of the emotional core in a kind of a way, and however wrong or however right that might be, I think it's important to have it recognized. And I think it was important for me to recognize that I was impacting on other people and I needed to switch that, and you know, and yeah, just to get my own mental health back to normal. I think, you know, mommy's not stressed. Like, you know what it's like when mommy's really stressed today, because I can see my... I always go, mommy's just tired. And then they see me in that state, and my eldest, bless her, she'll come and say, are you tired, mommy?
Oh, well, Persia said to me yesterday, how did she put it? She said something about, oh, but that's going to stress me out. And I was like, huh? Where did you get that from? And she said, I got it from you. And I was like, oh, wonderful. It's wonderful. So, yeah, you know, they feed off us. And especially because Persia is such an emotional human being. Yeah, just like me, you know.
I know.
We've got red Mediterranean blood running through us. And she's also got, you know, Persian Mediterranean, and Mediterranean blood running through her. So, you know, we've got fire in our bellies. Zachary's much more mellow.
Yeah,
he's got a sharp tongue, but he's much more mellow.
But yeah,
a bit like my partner, got a sharp tongue, but much more mellow. So yeah, but we're getting there. We are. It's just a transitional period.
And I feel like I'm coming out of that transitional period and going into something which is a bit more solid,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of what we all need. And yeah, I mean, I've got a 5-year goal, and the goals are really simple and they can change. I think that's what I always felt before, was if I set a goal, I had to, you know, if I didn't achieve it, that was a really bad thing. But I was trying to do so much to try and achieve it that I was never going to hit it anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, I've got a vision board and I will still have my vision board up, but I feel like pre-June 2019, there was nothing really stopping me from achieving my goals, and I got mm-hmm. so used to doing mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And then once everything kind of went dodgy, basically.
I like your dodgy.
You know, I was going to use another word, but I can't swear. So once everything went dodgy, then... it's like I still have my vision boards, and I will still always have my vision boards, but they are not as achievable as they once were. And that was putting me down, because I was like, I'm not achieving what I'm supposed to be achieving here. But it's because, you know, the children were here all the time, and then they were ill, and then I was ill, and then stuff happened, and, you know, it's impossible to keep. But again, you know, if people follow me on Instagram, they'll see that I've had a bit of a hiatus. Is that the right word? Hiatus.
Hiatus, yeah.
I've had a bit of a hiatus where I've not wanted to post. Mm-hmm. I've not wanted to do any Instagramming at all, because I didn't feel like I was... I felt like I would be lying if I posted.
Yeah, and that's it too. And you know, since going back, because a lot of people said to me, we really miss your Monday catch-up videos. And I'm like... what, me just talking for 3 minutes? Actually, it's always more like 7, because I can't not talk. You know, and I'm like, yeah, we really loved them. And I thought, and you said to me, why don't you just do that? And I'm like, yeah, but that's not really, I kept saying to myself, but no, you're supposed to post 3 to 5 days times a week, and you've got to do a reel. And I'm just like, I just said to myself, I was like, just post a Monday video and show people that you've been quilting. And that's what I did. And it felt really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And loads of people have said, oh, yeah, I've not been on Instagram for ages. I've hardly been posting. And I was like, oh, like you say, I'm not alone.
Yeah.
There are other people out there experiencing what I'm experiencing. And so that's the path I'm going to take. I'm going to keep going with my Monday catch-up videos until I feel more comfortable in doing more. And I'd like to get back to newsletters because I loved writing my newsletters. Absolutely loved them. But I set my goals way too high. I got overwhelmed and I couldn't keep up. And then I kept feeling like I was disappointing people because I wasn't sending out a newsletter once a week. And that was part of the downward spiral. But I want to get back to that. And I will get back to that. But I've got to lay the foundations first. And yeah, it feels... Which I have. Business plan, honestly, please, please, people. If you're still listening, because, you know, we are over an hour.
Well done for getting this far.
Well done for getting this far. Read it. Just read it. Just look at it. Download it. Honestly, I think it's one of the best free things. You know, it's brilliant. Brilliant. And it's really made me think about what I want. And even up until last week, you remember when we were out for having a coffee with a mutual friend, I was still going, no, I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I still can't do it. I can't do it. Da, 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 da. And I went away and I relooked at it and I sent it to you again. And you were at pickup and you were like, I thought you were going for nuts this afternoon. Oh no, I decided to do my business plan. You know, because there's still something in me that really, really, really wants to do it.
Yeah, and that's why even when you were having the wobble, I was like, No. I'm not having this.
You've said that to me many times before. Like, you know, the best one was in your office and I was literally sobbing at the thought of doing it all. Do you remember that?
Was that in the old house?
No, that was recently. That was when you were helping me with SEO last November and you said...
Oh, when we were sat... it's because you said my office, but we were sat in my dining room, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's my other office, yeah. Got my office and my other office. Got the sunny office and the not so...
You know. But I still went away and did it after I literally was crying for 10 minutes at the thought of what I was going to have to do. But, you know, I kind of feel... It's a positive that sometimes even in your darkest moments, you still don't quite give up. But I had to give up fully to move on to the next step, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I hope to join you on the other side ASAP.
You will. I know you will, because I know what you've been writing.
Yeah, I mean, and you have seen, you know.
I mean, the branding planner, that's my plan for Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, well, and I have seen what you're doing and I just feel like you will get to the other side of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You will. You know, everything is figureoutable.
Everything is figure.
Forleo would say.
But I do like what's for you will not go by you. That's actually true.
Is it? That's my grandfather. He'd be proud, you know.
I've got it written down. It says, what is for you will not go by you. Have faith that everything will work out exactly as it should.
And I kind of lost track of that. I lost sight of that. But I still think I had to completely stop to move on to the next step.
And to be fair, though, I think I have kind of stopped in a way.
You have.
In a way, because I did extend my processing time on my handmade shops because it wasn't anything, it's nothing about Etsy. It was not, I didn't lose my love for Etsy. I don't have the same love, and I've said this on the podcast before, I don't have the same love for making that you do and that Lindsay does. I like content creation. I like podcasting, you know, I'm a different kind of creator and I like making my planners very, very much. So I have kind of taken a bit of a break, but Ruth, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Honestly, I hope people, if they're still listening at this point.
They will be, I promise. They will be.
That they take away the fact, take away from this, that nothing is insurmountable, that you can take control back. Because I felt very much out of control of things. You can take control back and you can do it in your own way. And you can achieve things again if you've got to that point where you feel like nothing is ever going to happen again, nothing good is ever going to happen. It can. It absolutely can. But sometimes you need to step back, you know, before you can move on to the next step. Look, that could have been our entire episode. It would have taken 2 minutes to say, here we are.
Well, but for now, though, because, I mean, this is probably going to come out around September.
Okay, wow. Well, who knows what I might be up to then.
Unless I decide to bring it out before then, I'll have a look at the schedule and I'll discuss with Lindsay on. But I think it'll probably be September. So where can everybody come and find you?
Oh, no, because I might have changed my name by then.
I'll tag
on
you.
On Instagram.
Well, then I'll tell you what. I'll tag you in the show notes.
Okay.
At whatever you are at that point.
Okay. Yes.
And we will... At the moment, your Ruth's Reusables. Will you still have your Ruth's Reusable Instagram, Etsy shop?
I think I might keep it open. I think I might still keep it open just while this other one is getting off the ground. But, you know, the patterns will probably be very similar. I'm not going to get rid of what I've done before.
No.
Which was my original plan, was to just wipe everything from the face of the earth. And you went, whoa! Stop, just because I was in that moment of complete and utter hatred, you know, I was like, get rid of it all. You know, there are ways that I can use the knowledge that I've learned, gained, you know, the patterns that I've written. I can readapt them into other things, you know, into new branding, and not lose that, but kind of take it forward.
So whatever you are, I will write you in the show notes. And then we'll go from there.
We'll go from there. Thank you, lovely people, for listening.
Well, I hope that you have got so much out of this episode. I know that you will. I know that everybody's going to relate to this. And thank you very much
for
listening. Well, I was going to say thank you very much for listening, but also thank you very much for coming on, Ruth. And please do subscribe to the podcast. Please do leave us a review. And like I said at the start, it really does help us out. And we'll see you all soon. Take care. Bye.